Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning, we're talking with local girl Done Good, author, novelist, Tayari Jones. Tayari, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, as I mentioned, you were born and raised in Atlanta in a community that's now referred to as the SWAT. Can you share with our listeners what it was like for you growing up in Atlanta in the 70s?
Well, when I was a kid, yes, we did not think of it as the SWAT. It was just Atlanta. We very seldom traveled outside of Southwest Atlanta. Everything we needed was right there in our section of town. And I grew up there in the 70s. I went to Mays High. I went to Spelman College. And it was always just home. It was fully contained, and it was home.
I think some people use the SWAT fondly. Some people use the SWAT kind of infamously. But, yes, I remember that neighborhood in the 70s. Your novel, Silver Sparrow, really spoke to me because your Atlanta, you know, that was my Atlanta. And honest and truthfully, a couple of times when I was reading the book, I stopped and I looked back to read your biography because I was like, okay, how did she know about those parties, you know, off of Cascade? How did she know all of that to, you know, put it in that story? That was a real kind of coming of age story. Do people identify with your stories, even if they're not from Atlanta or the South?
Well, I feel like we all identify with all stories because there are things that we have in common as human beings. Like we have the same hopes and dreams and aspirations no matter where we're from. So I think that each person finds the thing that echoes their own experience. But the thing for any book that really helps you appreciate it are actually the things that are not the same as what you know, because that's how we grow when we read.
So one of the other things to me in reading your novels, even leaving Atlanta, it always seems as if Atlanta is one of the characters. Did you plan it that way, or is that just how it feels reading your stories?
Well, you know, Atlanta is my natural habitat, so. And I haven't lived in Atlanta for many years. And so my first book, Leaving Atlanta, was about growing up in Atlanta during the Atlanta child murders. And I wrote that one thinking it was kind of like a love letter to my generation, to those of us who were children at that time. I had never seen anything from our point of view. And then as I continue to live away from home, I feel that each book is a way that I visit home. When I'm working on a project, I'm back home. I'm comfortable. I'm there in Southwest Atlanta. I'm on Lyndhurst Drive. I'm on Childress Road. I'm back home.
It really does seem as if you make Atlanta come alive. And do you think it would still be that way if you were living here, if you didn't miss home maybe?
I'm really hoping that I can come home soon, but no, I think that if I were home, it would be the same. It would probably be even more vivid. I mean, in the first line of my new novel, An American Marriage, the character says, his first sentence is, there are two kinds of people in the world, those who leave home and those who don't. And I always thought I was one of the people that left home. But I think now I think there's a third kind of person, the kind of person that comes back.
And we would like to think that you can always come home, I would hope.
I believe so. I believe so. I mean, there's nothing that'll make you appreciate the South like the North. Ooh, I'd be delighted to come back home.
Well, you mentioned growing up here in Atlanta and at Spelman, and I know you learned at the feet of some of the greats, including Miss Pearl Klieg. You're going to be speaking with her at the Alliance on February 9th. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about your relationship with Ms. Klieg and then about the program on the 9th?
Oh, yes. I met Pearl when I was 17 years old. I was a sophomore at Spelman, and there was a creative writing class, and I wanted to take it, but they didn't allow sophomores in. So I forged my advisor's signature because I just wanted to try. And I had never taken a formal class in writing, and I just felt like this was my moment, my opportunity. And she realized that my paperwork was not quite legit, but she let me stay in the class. And I feel like she took me under that wing, and I have been under there ever since. It's been 30 years, and I'm still right there because she's just such an inspiring example of how to be an artist, how to be a Black woman artist, how to be a responsible member of the community. And so when I told her I had a new book out, I sent it to her, and she wrote me a really warm letter. And I said to her, well, maybe if I do an event in a bookstore, you could, you know, do it with me. And she says, we're not doing it in any little bookstore. We're going to do it in the Alliance Theater, because she's the playwright in residence. And so she's hosting me there. And it just means, it means everything to me to be able to sit down in conversation with my mentor and share it with everyone.
Well, now, I've heard that you and Pearl Cleek have been corresponding via letters for a number of years. Is there any thought that those letters might one day be published?
I tell her sometimes, because, you know, all her papers are, I think they're at the library at Emory. And sometimes when I write her a letter, I put on the bottom, do not send this to Emory. And if I say that, she won't. But I think everything, I think all my young letters when I was 18 and 19, I think they're all already over there.
I think that is wonderful. I want to sit down and read some of those letters one day. Now, you talked about your new novel and that first line. What can you tell our listeners about the new novel? And it's titled An American Marriage.
An American Marriage is the story of a young couple, Spelman Morehouse couple. They're kind of living the dream, the American dream of the New South. He's a first-generation college student. He feels like he's punching above his weight a little bit. He's married this woman from one of, you know, Black Atlanta's more upper-class families. And they are, and she's an artist. He is a businessman. They're living the dream. They're in their 20s. And when they've only been married 18 months, when they drive down to the little town in Louisiana that's his hometown, and when they're down there, he is arrested for a crime he does not commit and given a sentence of 12 years. And they have only been married 18 months. As she says, my daddy was still paying for the wedding. And now they have this incredible challenge that tears apart marriages that are much, you know, much longer lived and much stronger than theirs. How will they make it?
You got me. I've got to get it. I know the book does not come out until next week, but I will have to go and sign up on the wait list. That book now is called An American Marriage by Tayari Jones, and it will come out next week, I believe, on February 9th.
February 6th, Tuesday, February 6th.
Wonderful. So everyone, you need to go and get it, An American Marriage by Atlanta's own Tayari Jones. Now, Tayari, I want to ask you, for our listeners who are mentoring young people, who have nieces, nephews, who have sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters who may like to write, what do you want us to provide for those young people so that they can continue with that love of writing?
You know, I think with young people, the main thing is to leave them alone. They need to be able to play around and develop without worrying what their aunt is going to say, without worrying what their dad is going to say. But most of my advice really are for grown people who've always wanted to write, because there's so many people who've always wanted to write, but they think they don't have time, or you know how they tell you, oh, a writer writes every day. And so if you have a job, if you have kids, if you're doing elder care, you can't write every day. And so you think that that's not an option for you. But in my opinion, the people who do not have time to write very often have the most important stories to tell. That's why they don't have time. They're busy living life. And so my advice to those people is just try and write consistently. You know, about as much time as other people spend going to the gym, if you spend that time, that 3 days a week for an hour or 2 days a week for an hour and a half, if you do that consistently, you will get your book done. You may not get it done as fast as someone who leads a life of leisure and can write every day, but your story will get out there in its own time. You just have to work at it.
So now, do you have a time of day that you write at the same time every day? Is that how you approach the craft?
I have a time of day that I prefer to write. Like, I prefer to write early in the morning, but I can't always do it early in the morning. So I might have to, you know, get a little time in the afternoon or perhaps after dinner. I think the key is to be flexible. I feel like the more rules you have about when you can write, the more likely you are not to get anything done because conditions aren't perfect.
And now a lot of books go from the written word into film. Again, I love everything you've written. So Leaving Atlanta, Silver Sparrow, The Unveiling. Has anyone approached you yet? Are you interested in taking that leap?
You know, I think about it sometimes. I don't know the first thing about how a book becomes a movie. And so I just feel like if a filmmaker that is talented and interesting wants to do it, then I'd be happy to work with that person. But I also feel like I stay in my lane on some level. I know how to do what I know how to do. And I think that a lot of times you just have to, you know, trust the professionals to do what they do.
But you would be willing to turn it over?
I would be. I mean, I feel like the film is a separate work of art and it's a different kind of artist. So I would, you know, but I would be delighted. I mean, I have little fantasies about it sometimes, but I just know that it's kind of beyond my scope.
Now, for our listeners who, some I'm sure are very familiar with you, but some may not be familiar with you, tell us what you want those folks to know about Tayari Jones and your upcoming novel.
I think the main thing I would want people to know about my upcoming novel, An American Marriage, is that this is a novel, and I feel like with all my work, that is about the ways that we live together as a community, and what do we owe one another? So there is, you know, I'm very interested in the political issues surrounding mass incarceration and the way racism plays in. But what's really on my heart is the way that we treat each other. How do we treat each other in light of these challenges we face? How can we come together to heal ourselves?
And Tayari, I think in your novels, you showcase Black love in a way that I don't see in a lot of other novels. Is that a conscious decision or is that just part of your stories?
You know, Pearl always told me, she says, whenever you're at a crossroads in your book, just tell the truth. Just describe the world as you know it to be, not as it should be, not because you're trying to make some kind of point. If you just tell the truth, then the truth will come through. And I'm a person that believes that Black love, be it romantic love, family love, we do hurt each other from time to time and we make mistakes. But at the end of the day, our community is built on love. And I feel that when I write about Black love, I'm just telling the truth.
Tayari Jones, I love that. When you come to a crossroads, tell the truth. If we can,
the girl told me.
If we can all leave with that Pearl Klee, Tayari Jones quote, I think the world would be a much better place.
Well, thank you.
Now, how can people find out more information about you and keep up with what you're doing?
Well, they can. I have a website, which is TayariJones.com, but I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, and because I'm an early adopter, my username on everything is just my first name, T-A-Y-A-R-I.
And that's at Tayari, at T-A-Y A-R-I. Tayari Jones, thanks so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule, away from your blog and away from your writing schedule, to share some love with our listeners today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Take care now.